From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 120 of Little Brother for the 25th of February, 2023. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants, and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com, or you can post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. A group of filmmakers have sued internet service provider RCN, claiming that RCN have not held up their responsibilities in cutting off internet access to pirates. In the process of all of this, the group have subpoenaed social news site Reddit with the objective of getting the identities of several Redditors who have posted comments or articles on the subject of film piracy. Reddit is not amused. They have informed the filmmakers that they will be advising the affected Redditors of the subpoena in the interest of protecting the affected Redditors' First Amendment rights. At least one of the Redditors has filed an objection with the court. This will surprise nobody, I'm sure. As I mentioned in episode 113, there was a right to repair law here in New York State, which pretty well got neutered before it got passed into law. The news on this is that apparently the portion of the law, the text that Governor Hochul inserted, practically verbatim, came from a tech trade group, TechNet, who were representing all the big names you would expect. As a memory jogger, the neutered version of the bill still enables us to repair our devices if we can find spare parts, but makes no requirement that manufacturers make parts available for sale, even if they have them. Palantir is a Denver-based company that specializes in big data analytics. One of their products, Palantir Gotham, is used in counterterrorism operations by numerous governments around the world. Well, it turns out that the city of Hamburg, Germany, has passed a law specifically allowing law enforcement there to use it. In response, the Gesellschaft für Freiheitsrechte, a civil liberties group in Germany, worked with 11 plaintiffs and sued the city over it. A top German court heard the case and issued a very strict set of guidelines as to when and how the software could be used. Hamburg will be unable to use the technology until it has rewritten rules on how and when to use it in order to comply with the guidelines. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Well, here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned This Week. We have two this week. First up, we have Activision. Earlier this week, Activision confirmed that they were breached back in December. The attack vector was an SMS phishing attack, Activision have stated that their security team were able to locate it and lock it down quickly. However, VX Underground is claiming that the attack actually took place in November, and that in the time between then and when the Activision took control of the situation, the attackers were able to exfiltrate sensitive workplace documents and some pre-release content. The other item from this week comes from educational news website the74million.org, who are reporting that the Los Angeles School District lost control of the psychiatric evaluations of around 2,000 students. The documents were found on a dark website posted by the ransomware gang Vice Society. There is no information on how the breach occurred, but this case raises concerns about student privacy, and in this case, patient privacy. Both educational and health privacy laws exist for a reason. There are two cases currently before the U.S. Supreme Court that could change the way the internet works. Back in 1996, around the time that the internet was starting to gain mainstream acceptance, the Congress passed a bill into law that contained an amendment called the Communications Decency Act, or CDA for short. The amendment was focused on the idea of preventing obscenity and indecency on the internet in a similar fashion to how it is in broadcast media. Obviously, that's been a real fucking success. The bill was greeted with a great deal of well-deserved mockery, my favorite of which was to substitute the names of the bill's supporters for any obscenities that you might use. That'll teach those pieces of Gorton. In 1997, the Supreme Court decided a case called Reno v. ACLU in favor of the ACLU. The decision of the court was unanimous on the grounds that it was a clear violation of the First Amendment rights of Americans. However, one important provision of the law remained and is currently on the books as U.S. Code Title 47, Section 230. It's short and sweet and reads, quote, "No provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be treated as the publisher or speaker of any information provided by another information content provider," end quote. What this means, to put it simply, is that if you post information on some platform, pick some social media, say Twitter, that if you post something on that platform, that content is not the platform's problem. It's not their problem if it's false, it's not their problem if it's slanderous, it's not their problem if it's libelous, it's not their problem if it's harmful. It's not their problem. Just to give you an idea of how important that is, while AI, filtering, and auto-detecting technologies have come a long way in the past 10 years or so, at the time that this law was written, none of that was feasible. Even as it is, it misfires from time to time. This one sentence in a law book protects the platforms from misbehavior by their users. Without this section of law, none of these platforms would have been able to exist. They'd have been stillborn, unable to publish anything but fully vetted content. So I mentioned two cases that are before the Supreme Court. The two cases are Gonzalez versus Google and Twitter versus Tamne. In both of these cases, the respective platforms, Google and Twitter, stand accused of aiding and abetting terrorists. In both cases, their respective platforms' recommendation engines enabled more and more radical content to be presented to an impressionable young adult, radicalizing them into terroristic acts. The key thing before the court appears to be the presence of such a recommendation engine. While content isn't the responsibility of the platforms, the question remains to be seen whether or not the recommendations are. In the event that the Supreme Court decides in favor of the platforms, nothing will change. In the case that they do not, the internet will be rolled back a decade or two in terms of filtering and finding content. For their part, some of the justices have commented that they are not sure that they are the right ones to decide the fate of the internet, and that this duty should fall to Congress. Yeah, That'll be fun. I love Signal Private Messenger. That is not news to anybody who has listened to much of this podcast. To recap, and for those who have been living under a rock, Signal Private Messenger is an app for Android and iPhone that does end-to-end encrypted communication. It has ancillary apps for Mac and Linux and Windows that you can attach to an existing account, but you couldn't actually start an account from one. You can use it for text, files, voice, and video. And I gotta say, voice calls over Signal are not only secured by end-to-end encryption, but they actually sound really nice. But what is end-to-end encryption, actually? In a nutshell, your device and the device of the person you're talking to will negotiate an encryption key using a technique called Diffie-Hellman key exchange. This allows the two devices to agree on a key without giving away to any of the devices that can hear the exchange what that final key might be. Once that's done, the devices can use that encryption key to communicate with each other, and no device that might handle the message between them can get at the message contents. It's pretty damn strong. Historically speaking, when served with subpoenas, Signal have only been able to state the date that an account was created and the date when it was last used. Even though the messages may reside on their servers, they can't get to the content and don't know where it was accessed or when. So that brings us to the UK. So there's this bill going through the British Parliament right now, introduced by none other than Prime Minister Boris Johnson, called the Online Safety Bill. It will require that end-to-end encryption be weakened by one means or another to grant access to the content to law enforcement. Here we fucking go again. They are, of course, using the same tired, worn-out excuse that they've been using at least since the 90s when people tried to assert privacy through technological means. Won't somebody please think of the children? The trouble that we have here is that there are competing interests. Those interested in communicating privately are, ipso facto, not interested in having those communications snooped on or even snoopable by third parties, which, by the way, includes law enforcement. Hypothetically, there are two major approaches that such a thing could be implemented. Either the encryption itself is weakened so that communications in transit can be snooped on, or something is done on the endpoint where your device scans the content. In the first case, if we weaken encryption, then it's weak encryption. If there's a secondary key, it's practically guaranteed to leak eventually, disclosing the communications of anyone who was saddled with an encryption system that uses it. If there's one thing that has become clear to me in my lifetime, it is that the government cannot keep a secret. This is one of the reasons why I find conspiracy theories so laughable. But then there's client-side scanning. Literally, your device, which you own, is to be programmed to rat you out. How does that even start to be reasonable? And all of this is for a minority corner case use. Everyone must give up privacy so that a small number of criminals can be caught. Fuck that. If you want to see my messages, stop being so fucking lazy, get a fucking warrant, and seize my phone. As I described last week, it's not like a phone's location can be kept private. Anyway, back to Signal. Along with WhatsApp, they have declared that if this bill becomes law, they'll just simply stop offering their services in the UK. For those of you who stopped donating to Signal back when they dropped SMS support, maybe the time has come to start donating again. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fungaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Punt music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. And our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com or post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well. The group have subpoenaed social news started again. In response, the Gesellschaft für Freiheitsrechte. Gesellschaft für around the time that the internet was starting to gain mainstream acceptance. Where did that paragraph just go? If you have questions or comments about this podcast, Gesellschaft für Freiheitsrechte.